Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 10. There is so much in this chapter. May God help us to receive his word. John chapter 10, this is God's word. "Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers." Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus said again, "Truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These aren't the words of someone who is demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews surrounded him and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." "I did tell you, and you don't believe," Jesus answered them. "The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you don't believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, the Jews picked up rocks to stone him. Jesus replied, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these works are you stoning me? We aren't stoning you for a good work, the Jews answered, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, isn't it written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called those whom the word of God came to gods, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say you are blaspheming to the one the Father set apart and sent into the world because I said I am the Son of God? If I'm not doing my Father's works, don't believe me. But if I am doing them, and you don't believe me, believe the works. This way you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Then they were trying again to seize him, but he eluded their grasp. So he departed again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing earlier, and he remained there. Many came to him and said, John never did a sign, but everything John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is the good shepherd. He says several times in this passage that he's the good shepherd. But for those of us who haven't spent a lot of time around sheep, that figure of speech, as it's described here in this chapter, may not be as meaningful. If you can't readily identify with being a member of the flock, we use that term. The title that your elders here are given, pastor, means shepherd. And so that language kind of permeates the church because of the scriptures. But the fact is, until I moved to Ware's Valley, I had never really gotten to know sheep. And it wasn't because so many sheep lived in Ware's Valley when we came here. It's because someone got the clever idea that it would be good for the boys at our first home here on the property to raise some market lambs as a 4-H project. So I thought, great, what can go wrong? Well, actually, things didn't go wrong, but I received an education that seminary did not afford me. Because those precious little lambs were so adorable. And they were given names like Cotton and Puff. I mean, they were so cute and fuzzy, and you could just pick them up and hold them, and they were precious. The names had changed by the time they got older. They became things like Lamb Chop. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. They took on a whole new identity as they grew from precious little lambs to full-grown sheep. Now, we did win some prizes because they were good-looking sheep and the boys had taken care of them, but I'll tell you this. I suddenly decided that before you graduate from seminary, you ought to have to spend a semester taking care of sheep. How many of you have ever seen trained sheep doing tricks? Have you seen that? No. I can always ask that question with confidence because no one has ever seen trained sheep doing tricks. People train dogs. People train cats. People train rats and hogs. No one trains sheep. Sheep are incredibly stupid, short-sighted, and utterly dependent upon someone to shepherd them. And so all through the scriptures, when God refers to us as being his sheep, he's not saying, you're smart. He's saying, I take ownership of you. I care for you.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name.
Now, there are some people who take care of sheep, but they don't really love the sheep and they don't take ownership of them. They are hirelings. And Jesus says, when a wolf comes toward the flock, the hireling says, I'm off, and goes. They will not stay to protect the sheep because they don't love the sheep. Jesus says, I love my sheep, and I lay down my life for my sheep. But how wonderful that he not only tells us he's willing to die for us, he tells us he's going to lay down his life and he's going to take it up again. He speaks of his death and resurrection here in these verses, and his audience doesn't get it at all. They do not understand what he's saying. They certainly don't believe the good news. They're just trying to figure out if he really is the Messiah. They've been looking for a Messiah. They want someone to come and rescue them. And Jesus tells them, I am the one that you've been waiting for. All the others, the religious leaders who exploit you and make it more difficult for you to enter into life, they were all bad guys, thieves and robbers. But he says, I've come so that you might have life and have it to the full, have it more abundantly. I want you to think for just a moment about your view of Jesus and why he came. Now, I know we're basically a church crowd. We have been taught that Jesus is good and he loves us. But in the nitty-gritty of life, when things aren't going the way that we would plan them, what is your view of God's attitude toward you? I read a post on Facebook from one of our parishioners this morning, a story that Corrie ten Boom had told. Corrie said that when she was in the concentration camp at Ravensbrück, she got a horrible cold, okay? And she desperately wanted a handkerchief. And of course, in that barracks, there was none to be had. It was a pit. It was a horrible place. And she began to just, in the midst of her suffering, she began to pray and ask the Lord, have you forgotten me? Can you imagine for a moment how it might feel as if you'd been forgotten in a concentration camp? And her sister said, if you want a handkerchief, why don't you pray for one? And Corrie laughed at her and said, don't be ridiculous. And so her sister said, fine, I will pray. And she prayed, Lord, please get Corrie a handkerchief. What a ridiculous prayer. You're in a concentration camp. You're praying for a handkerchief? How about praying for the Allied troops to get there? I mean, you know, praying for a handkerchief in a concentration camp. But a little while later, Corrie heard her name being called from outside through an opening. And she went over to the opening, and there a woman she was friends with, who worked in the infirmary, said, God told me to bring this to you. Corey said, what do you mean? She said, here. And she pressed into Corey's hand a piece of a bed sheet that had been stitched by her into a handkerchief, made into a handkerchief. And she said, God spoke to my heart. I heard him say in my heart, take this handkerchief to Corey Ten Boom. And Corey said, that handkerchief meant so much because God used it to say, I haven't forgotten you, my child. I hear your prayer. Now, I read that, and I had the privilege as a teenager of getting to know Corey Ten Boom and have her in our home, and I drove her places, and that meant the world to me. But reading that, even though I'm touched on the one hand, I think on the other hand, really a handkerchief? I mean, if God can arrange for this person to bring this person a handkerchief, why didn't God just heal her of her cold? If God can bring her a handkerchief or heal her of her cold, why didn't God just keep her from having to go to concentration camp? I mean, why does God allow suffering in this world? Well, that's a bigger question than I can answer today, fortunately. It's not that I don't know all the answers in intimate details. It's just that I don't want to keep you here that long. No, the fact of the matter is there are a lot of things I don't understand. But I do know this. God is real. And he loves his children. He loves his sheep. He cares for us. And Corey said, when we get to heaven, we're going to thank God for all the prayers he answered, which sometimes, by the way, we are forgetful about. We forget all the times that God has answered our prayers. We just move on instead of saying, thank you. Thank you, Lord. But Corey said, we will not only thank God for the answered prayers when we get to heaven, we will thank God for all the times he said no, because he knew better. The reason that the world heard of Corey Ten Boom was because she survived concentration camp and therefore had a credible testimony to go into the deepest, darkest places in the world where people were suffering horrible things and bring them the hope of the gospel and tell them about the one who came to save us and give us life in abundance. You and I, every one of us, has a story. And our story, if we're honest in telling it, is a mixture of wonderful memories, great things that have happened, and a whole bunch of other stuff. We all have things in our story that we'd rather not share. But the fact of the matter is, God loves us. He loves us so much that Jesus came to lay down his life and take it up again so that we could have abundant life now and forever with him. Jesus did all kinds of works. Previous chapter, a man born blind is healed by Jesus. The disciples had asked him at the start of that story, who sinned, him or his parents, that he's born blind? Jesus said neither. Jesus wasn't saying that he'd never sinned or that his parents hadn't sinned. He was saying that's not why he's blind. This man was born blind to display the glory of God. Do you remember that story? It's just the previous chapter. One of the reasons that God allows suffering is to reveal his glory. Pain has the capacity for many of us to focus our thoughts. All of a sudden, we're interested in spiritual things. All of a sudden, we care and we realize we're not invincible and we're not bulletproof. In the midst of our suffering, we realize our need for a Savior. So what a mercy that God would let us suffer. Not because he doesn't care about us, but because he does. I've shared more than once the challenge of having to hold my son still so that doctors could work on him, and his being so frustrated and even angry that instead of rescuing him from these people who were inflicting pain, I was holding him so that he couldn't fight back. Hard for him to bear. Hard for him to comprehend. Started before he was even old enough to talk. But his cries and his tears spoke volumes. Why would I do that? Because I didn't care about my son? It was because I wanted him to live. And I wanted him to have a good life. And so, I was willing for him to go through pain in order to help him. I don't know all your stories, but God does. And you have to decide whether you're going to believe the truth of the gospel, that he cares for you. Jesus said this, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know my voice, and they follow me." Have you heard him call your name? Have you believed that he is indeed your shepherd, one who cares for you, who loves you so much that he laid his life down? Have you believed that? Because Jesus says if you believe that, you'll follow him. It's not just an intellectual thing. Yes, yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe. It's a relational thing. You belong to him. He's your shepherd, and you're his sheep. He's your father. You're his child. And your desire is no longer just to get what you want. Your desire is to do what he wants because you trust him. You know that what he has in mind for you is better than what you could devise. You're a sheep after all. You recognize your own limitations. You know that you can't see all that far ahead, but you know that he can. And so in the midst of whatever you're going through, there is this desire to do what he wants. Have you heard him? Will you trust him? Will you follow him? Jesus could not have been more clear. I and the Father are one. Jesus Christ is Lord, and one day every knee will bow. Whether you believe it or not, I can't help. But believe it or not, one day you'll see it and you'll bow. If you've never bowed up to now, I plead with you while you still have the opportunity. Repent of your sin and trust in him as your Savior. Ask him to forgive you and cleanse you and take control of your life. Ask him to do what he wants with your life. He wants to give you a lot more than a handkerchief. He wants you to know that he knows you and that he cares about you. Sometimes we have to get in a very dark place where we're grateful even for little things before we begin to realize God has not forgotten us. He cares for us. And he's reaching out to you right now.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.